Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house. Check the box.
On the boulevard, I landed. We used to kick routines, and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract,
and me, the 5-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the Frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine that we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
Welcome to the July preview of After the Credits. Welcome, welcome. I am your co-host, Marina Antunes from Row3.com and QuietEarth.us.
I'm Colleen. There you go.
Colleen, just Colleen.
From Row3.com.
Yeah, if I ever get around to actually doing more.
Yeah, posts. We're pining.
I know.
And Dale from DigitalDoodles.com.
Hooray.
Woohoo!
Yep, the gang's all here.
That gang is all here. We're back. July preview. Lots to talk about. Actually looking like a fairly decent month. I'm surprised.
Well, there's a lot of movies. I would be really disappointed just if we didn't, statistically.
If we didn't find one thing.
If we
thing,
didn't find a couple that we like.
Mind you, the ones that I'm excited about are pretty small, but I'm really excited about them.
Yeah, the smaller ones have me more interested too. Yeah.
And probably the ones least likely to come here. Hooray!
Yeah, I know, hey? Our luck. We're going to start. We're not going to talk too much about it because we talked about Transformers last month because it opens on the 29th. But for whatever reason, they have it listed as July 1st, even though in brackets it says the 29th. So yeah, Transformers 3 is coming.
Yep. Next.
Next.
Moving on to July 1st. Larry Crowe, directed by Tom Hanks, starring Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts. Tom Hanks plays a big box store employee who loses his job and then goes back to school to sort of find himself, falls for the teacher who happens to be Julia Roberts.
Isn't this just kind of like The Terminal, but not set in one location? Was it The Terminal where the guy lost his passport and he couldn't leave the...
Yeah, it was called The Terminal, but I don't really see the connection.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's kind of topical.
I never saw the other, but...
People's life are in transition and needing to find new things, but... Based on this trailer and kind of the subject matter, I don't know. I don't think it was quite the right script for him. I kind of get the impression with a different lead actor, it would have been better given the scenes they showed. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the... Tom Hanks is hit and miss for me.
Yeah.
I generally like Julia Roberts. Tom Hanks hasn't actually directed anything since... an episode of Band of Brothers in 2001. So it's been like 10 years since he's been behind the camera.
Wow.
Which is neither really here or there. He hasn't really directed a whole bunch of stuff. But I don't know. I think it looks kind of fun.
It has potential, but I was more interested in the secondary characters, which isn't really a good sign for... But then, I mean, that's always the danger with trailers.
Well, and I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that it might be better without this might not be the role for Tom Hanks. I think it actually is kind of appropriate because he's sort of like the everyman. And this is very much, like you say, a topical thing. And a lot of people are going through this sort of change. So maybe that's what they're appealing to as well.
Well, I think, I mean, in terms of the timing for the story, I think absolutely it's something that people would be more interested now than, you know, say 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right. Colleen, no thoughts one way or another?
Not really. I watched it and I don't know. Like you say, Tom Hanks, hit and miss, and Julia Roberts, generally speaking, I'm indifferent on. So yeah. Just those two people taking up so much time on the screen just generally sent me, okay, next.
Yeah. Your mom will like this one.
Oh, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I'm actually looking forward to it. I don't know if I'll get around to see it in theaters, but... It's definitely one I'm interested in.
If I had a chance to watch it, I would watch it, but I certainly wouldn't go out of my way.
Yeah, no, and there doesn't seem to be any chemistry between Hanks and Roberts.
Not in the trailer, no.
No, and I mean, I just don't see it anyways. Like, I think of them together and it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just kind of weird. But, I don't know, it does still look kind of interesting for me, at least.
I'll pass.
Also opening July 1st, another one that Colleen is likely to pass on. Monte Carlo.
Like you're going to go?
Probably.
Really?
Dude, this is totally up my alley.
It's the next, when I saw this, it's like, oh, the next generation of like Princess Bride's coming along.
I thought Traveling Pants meets sort of the, whatchamacallit, Babysitter Club kind of thing, part 14.
This was totally done with another Disney star of last year. One of the child stars that actually didn't sully her reputation and did the singing.
Mandy Moore?
No,
the other one, Hilary Duff.
Hilary Duff had a very similar, only she was like mistaken for a rock star.
Yeah, exactly. This is very, very similar. Directed by...
it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, directed by Thomas Bazooka, who directed The Family Stone, which I did like.
I liked The Family Stone. I think, you know, movies, you know, every demographic needs their movie, right?
Oh, exactly.
And I'm not it for this, but more power if the 15-year-old girls like it.
I'm kind of sort of confused about all this because... I don't think of Selena Gomez as being more than, what, like 14? I'm guessing. I have no idea how old she is. But she's. I think of her as like for the Disney Club, the Mickey Mouse Club, like, you know, 10, 12 kind of age. Whereas Leighton Meester and Katie Cassidy, they're on Gossip Girl. Leighton Meester is a regular on Gossip Girl, and Katie Cassidy was on Gossip Girl recently, and there's very little crossover on demographics here, and yet they're all together in the same movie. It's a little weird.
She was born in 1992.
Don't make me do math.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I think that's 19, or is that 15? Oh, God. That is so pathetic. Just a sec.
Well, you do the math. So the story here is...
The accounting firm of Dale and Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 19.
19. Okay, see, for whatever reason, I always think of her skewing a lot younger.
Well, they always... when you can have 25-year-olds playing high school kids, well, 19 practically looks like elementary school.
Well, and that, I guess that's the thing. So it just seems... The whole dynamic here seems kind of weird, but yeah, it's about three girls that go on vacation, and one of them looks like some royal princess, and you know, they end up in Monte Carlo and all kinds of things happen. Also stars Corey Monteith from Glee, which I thought was sort of interesting. I mean, that he just, you know, familiar face, but we've already talked enough about Monte Carlo.
I say skip this and just go find yourself a copy of Roman Holiday and watch that.
I could go with that.
Yeah.
Be much better. The demographic is definitely a lot different for both of those films.
Well, it's a mistaken identity or something, or trying to hide identity.
It's a hiding from your, yeah.
It's a much higher class.
Yeah.
Actually, I would call it almost a coming of age for the princess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could go with that.
Last kick at the can.
Well, okay. From a cynical point of view.
Yeah.
Also opening July 1st in limited release, only opening in LA and New York with a slow rollout. Azazel Jacobs Terry, starring John C. Reilly and newcomer Jacob Wysocki, I think it is. This was a minor hit at Sundance. I know it played Sundance and it had a bit of buzz coming out of it. It's basically the story of a young teen who's, you know, kind of troubled and the...
Chubbified?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, troubled. And and his high school principal sort of steps in and I guess maybe sees a bit of himself in there and tries to help him out. Looks kind of fun.
It looks really slow, but even with the slow pace of it, I kind of want to see it.
It looks like it might have some moments.
It looks really indie in a non-rocket science kind of way, which means I'm not kind of that interested.
They didn't.
I like rocket science.
I'm not 100% sure how I feel about this one. The trailer seems kind of interesting. John C. Reilly is really hit and miss for me.
Yeah.
Even when he's like buckled down and sort of controlled. So I don't know. I'm certainly curious.
I am curious about this, but I can't imagine committing in like an hour and a half of my life to it with all the other stuff that I want to do.
Want to watch, yeah. Also opening July 1st, and good God, I hope this opens here because I am so there.
Wow, David Hyde Pierce and something completely different.
Dude, I don't know where this movie has been hiding. I didn't have time to sort of look around and see what happened to it. It played Sundance last year in 2010, and it's been kicking around somewhere for last year. I don't know if it was in some sort of Release Hell. It was picked up eventually by Magnolia, who's opening it in limited release. It's directed by Nick Tumney.
I stopped you before you actually got to say the name.
It's called The Perfect Host. It's directed by Nick Tumney, who actually directed... This is based on his short film from 2001. So, like, 10 years in the making. Here we go, full-length feature. Starring David Hyde Pierce, as you already alluded to. Clayne Crawford and Nathaniel Parker, a couple of guys that I actually haven't seen in anything. Though I was looking at Clay Crawford's filmography, and he's done a lot of TV. He was a regular on 24 and on CSI. So this dude, played by Clayne Crawford, his name is John, he ends up, he's running away, he's done something.
He's robbed the bank or something. Yeah.
He's
fleeing the law.
Yeah, fleeing the law. He, you know, gets smart, picks up a postcard from some mailbox, figures out, you know, somebody that, you know, he may find a way into this house. Goes in, it's David Hyde Pierce's place. He's about to have a dinner party, so he basically convinces him that, hey, if you kill me now, you're totally going to get caught because I have all these people coming over. And then all ship breaks loose, and David Hyde Pierce turns. And it is gleeful. I was jumping with joy.
I anticipate this film much like I anticipate Kevin Costner doing Mr. Brooks 2.
Oh, hey! God. Five.
The only thing I anticipate by Kevin Costner. But,
that yeah, and Saving the Universe.
This just looks freaking awesome. I didn't even know where it was going. When it first started, I got sort of like The Ref.
Right.
Sort of vibe mixed with a little Brimstone and Treacle, like the whole con man, what's going to happen here? And then it goes 180 in a completely opposite direction, which just thrills me to death.
I almost wish I hadn't seen the trailer, because to have been caught by surprise of that in the film would have been gold.
What? Yeah, but you probably wouldn't have seen it, though. But that trailer makes you want to go see this film.
The fact that they threw that out so early, like, really makes me hopeful that there's other equally whack kinds of fun stuff waiting.
Well, and I think it's kind of interesting that they say here, this dark comedy is being linked to both Dexter and The Usual Suspects, and most viewers say your perspective changes with each viewing.
That's all you can ask from a film, man.
Wow.
I agree.
Looks multiple awesome. Viewability.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Moving on to July the 8th, and oh god, just shoot me now, The Zookeeper. Or sorry, just Zookeeper.
You're gonna hate me.
Oh god. No, really?
I freaking hate animals that talk.
I saw something in the trailer that made me curious. Don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna actually go see this first run. But I kind of look forward to catching this on, you know, TV or something. No. I don't know. It looked kind of funny.
No.
Wow. we need a camera like here. You too.
I think Colleen's face is much more precious than mine.
I don't think I would have gotten a stronger look if I'd said, you know, like I peed in your coffee before I gave it to you.
Yeah, whatever. It's fairly sterile. Oh my god, I hate films that have talking animals almost as much as I hate animation as a general rule.
This is Kevin James, who is another hit
Paul
and miss.
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, Paul Blart Mall Cop.
You know what happened?
I still haven't seen that.
Okay, you know what? What happened to Kevin James? King of Queens was hilarious on a regular basis. This, his career since, has not been.
Yeah, he doesn't have the best luck at picking scripts.
He needs new management, I think. And Rosario Dawson also needs new management. What the hell is
yeah,
she doing?
Yeah, she's totally. Thank you for that kind of surprised me too. But then she's another one that's been a little bit hit and miss. I mean, she's been more hit than miss, but especially lately, she hasn't seemed to have found really great.
They both need new management. So the story here is Kevin James is like the greatest zookeeper in the world, and he's about to leave his career to land the girl that he, you know, wants to be with. And the animals decide to convince him that he can win the girl and keep his job because they don't want him to leave. So yes, the animals talk.
Boo, stupid animals.
Yeah, and very stereotypical kinds of caricatures.
Yeah. Not sure.
Like I said, there was something that kind of caught me.
We'll talk about what would be better in two films. So.
How about in one film?
In one film, yeah.
Horrible Bosses.
Okay.
Oh, okay, God.
King of Kong director Seth Gordon returns with an all-star cast starring Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, Jason Sudeikis, Jennifer Aniston, Colin Farrell, Jamie Foxx, Kevin Spacey, and Donald Sutherland. So three dudes hate their bosses, conspire to kill each other's bosses, and things go horribly wrong. Dude, the bosses are badass. Colin Farrell, I could not believe it when I saw the trailer. I'm like, you know, holy shit.
I saw Jennifer Aniston doing like that dental scene thing, and
that's
I thought,
funny.
Good for her. She's kind of got to the point of like, I just don't give a shit. I'm just going to go for it and have some fun.
Yeah, good nice. For her. Yeah, because the whole thing just looks hilarious. I don't know. I think it looks hilarious.
It has promise.
I still don't want to see it.
Jason Bateman. Not right there. You got me.
I know.
Colin
Farrell.
I have
a thing for that boy.
Strike two. Kevin Spacey, strike three. Kevin
really?
Spacey playing
another asshole.
Another
reminiscent
asshole.
Of, like, what was it called? Sharks.
Swimming with sharks, which he is awesome in.
Is so. He the guy going, bring in the cripple?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Whoever
no.
that boss was,
no,
I like
that's,
him.
No, that's Colin Farrell.
Oh, that's is that?
Yeah, that's yeah. Colin Farrell.
Bring in,
yeah.
No, Jason.
He creeps me out.
Yeah. Him and his secret seat.
Yeah. No, Kevin Spacey is the one that's giving him, like, alcohol at 8 o'clock in the morning and telling him he has to drink it.
We're going to cut the fat. Bring in the fat one.
Yeah. That's Colin Farrell.
Yeah,
that
okay.
right there got me. I'm like, oh my God. Look at his hair or the lack of it. It's just, it's too good to be true. Too good to be true. I can't wait. Opening a limited release on July the 8th, James Marsh, Oscar winner James Marsh, returns with Project NIMH, a documentary about a 1970s experiment that basically had chimps living with humans to prove that they could communicate. The reviews on this have been very, 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 very positive. I think it was Kurt that reviewed it for Hot Docs, and he really loved it. Said nothing but good things. I'm not particularly surprised, considering Man on Wire was spectacularly awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite sure when this one will open our way. I'm sure it will at some point. Oh, I think it is. It's playing, or it played at the Van City, so we should see it make a return appearance, I think, later in the year. So.
Sweet. There yeah, I'm looking forward to that
I'm
one.
I'm excited
again.
For that one, too.
I can get behind animals communicating, just not talking.
Dale, any thoughts on Project NIMH?
It looked fascinating. For some reason, I don't want to see this one in the theater.
Yeah,
I do want to see it, but not...
I don't think it necessarily I don't think you
no.
have to see it in
yeah.
the theater. It's, it looks like an interesting documentary, but nothing particularly cinematic.
Yeah.
At least that's the feeling I get from the trailer.
And there's nothing... Usually, for a documentary to get me into the theater, there has to be something really, really compelling that makes me want to see it right then.
Yeah.
And this just doesn't have that. Like, I mean, I don't know, 1970s, some experiment, nothing timely to... But, I mean, having said that, it looks, like, really interesting. I'd never mm-hmm. heard of it before. So
yeah.
I do want to see it at some point.
Also opening in limited release on July 8th, this one I'm actually really excited about. Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of a Tribe Called Quest. Basically directed by Michael Rapaport, who I never, ever in my life, when I watched Boston Public, ever thought I would be watching a movie directed by Michael Rapaport, which is interesting, especially not one about hip-hop, of all things. But this is a documentary about a Tribe Called Quest, who sort of made their rise in the early 80s, early to mid-80s, and then sort of disbanded in the 90s. Internal battles and whatever else. So I think it's probably of interest to fans of the music or fans of music in general. I was a fan.
So you know what? Tribe Called I'll Quest, De La Soul, Beasties, of course, and a few other, Maestro Fresh. They ruled. There was a small little slice of hip-hop / rap that I could get behind.
Yeah.
And Tribe Called Quest was right up there.
Yeah, I agree. There was just this little sliver of stuff that was actually really good. And it's interesting that the trailer brings up, they interview some fairly big names in hip hop today. And it's just kind of an interesting thing. I think it's very much if you like the music or you like music in general, it might be something of interest.
I mean, I was kind of like moving to White man
moving and grooving.
White man moving to the music as the trailer was playing.
Yeah, there's
acceptable
some...
to Whitey pop and rap.
Oh God, that's the kiss of death to him, isn't it? Oh my God,
not really.
No, not really. I mean, that was
it's
one of their
crossover. Look how big the Beastie Boys are.
I think that was one of their big successes. That they could appeal to that other market, and they weren't rapping. It wasn't East Coast versus West Coast.
Yeah,
right?
there was nothing angry usually about it at all.
It wasn't. It was very much like a sort of chillax vibe.
Chillax.
Well, it was. Yeah. It was a total chill vibe, right? And then Nas came along and turned it all upside down. So, moving on. Also opening on the 8th, John Carpenter's The Ward. Now, I want to say that this has been kicking around since last year. Starring Amber Heard as a woman that's put into a mental institution. She thinks she sees ghosts. Nobody else seems to notice that, something bad's going on. Then people start disappearing. It looks like a period piece as well.
I
70s, I sort of thought from the cars.
Yeah.
Electroshock therapy.
So some creepy stuff going on there. Reviews haven't been particularly positive.
Okay. I wasn't sure what to think of this, actually, especially with Carpenter. You're never quite sure where he might go with something.
I'm with you there.
There's a bit of promise there, but it could be derailed so easily from being kind of cool horror to just kind of campy shit.
Yeah, I think it might go the campy route, but I don't know. I want to sort of give it a shot only because I like Carpenter. And
yeah, I didn't get the campy off. Usually you get a little bit more upfront when he's going campy, and I didn't get that. But having said that, I could see it doing kind of like The Abyss kind of twist in it somehow.
Yeah. I don't,
not I'm, that that's not a Carpenter movie, but,
Yeah, and I'm not really sure where it's going to go, but I'm certainly curious. I like the whole weird stuff that they did to patients in the 70s because some of it is just so messed up. That alone will mess with your mind.
Wasn't it more the 50s and 60s?
Oh, I think it went on into the 70s though. That whole period of and how they dealt with people that have mental illness, it was just like that in of itself is a horror movie. Never mind.
Yeah, you don't need to embellish it at all.
Well, this is the thing. So I'm curious. Also opening July 8th. Oh my God, open this movie today, please.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, hells yeah. Dude, Ironclad? This movie today.
Hey, it's Paul Giamatti.
Oh, well, okay. It's also James Purefoy.
That's cool. But
Paul Giamatti trumps all for you, doesn't it?
I just want to punch him hard. I don't know why.
Okay, before we start talking about punching Paul Giamatti, the story here.
It's one of my favorite subjects.
James Purefoy leads a group of Knights Templar in protecting a castle from King John. I actually have to go back and read about King John because his name sounded vaguely familiar and I couldn't figure out from where.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was watching that and the thought in the back of my head was, didn't King John deal heavily with the Templars, A, in financing, and B, he rewarded them once the barons came to actually get the, the land barons demanded the first real sort of rules and laws in...
They had I think they called it the Magna Carta, didn't they?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And then the dude died.
And he rewarded the Templars with huge, vast tracts of land, including like Lumby and other places. Like he had a fairly
Wikipedia wasn't clear on that.
But why would you even bother looking up the real historical record when it's a movie?
I was just curious.
They're gonna run havoc.
There'd be other reasons to, like...
The guy plays a tyrannical bastard. Like, Paul Giamatti's, like, spewing stuff out of his mouth.
I might be wrong, though. I didn't look it up at all. Just somewhere in the back of my head.
I think you could be absolutely right.
Templars?
Well, all I know is that Paul Giamatti's playing a crazy man. I'm game.
Well, yeah, 13th century, psycho. Attack the castle siege.
James okay, his comb right. over was pretty fly.
I don't know. I dug the eyes bulging, shit flying out of his mouth. I don't know. It's pretty badass.
See, King John gets a bad rap. He was actually an amazing king when it came to actual administrative work.
Apparently nobody likes him.
This
I don't
has
know.
Nothing to do with the movie at all.
I know.
Dale goes back to the movie. Damn it, we won the history. God damn it.
What is this, a History Channel? I mean, am I in the wrong podcast?
I think we transported into the History Channel's podcast.
Just one of those things.
In Canada, it's History Television.
Ooh.
They get really annoyed when you call them the History Channel. Yeah.
I don't blame them. History TV is awesome.
What, World War II TV?
Oh, no. So what do you think, Dale? Come on,
do you
want
to punch him in the face, Steve?
This is the kind of movie that, based on some of the trailer, would actually be worth seeing in a theater if I were interested in it.
Oh.
But based on the trailer, based on some ranting and stuff.
I'm so game. Bring it.
There's just something about it that irritates me, and it's not just Paul Giamatti.
It's probably not historically accurate.
It's probably what it is. There's probably something.
There's something nagging.
I'm not 100% sure, but there's something in the back of my mind screaming at the top of his lungs going, what the fuck?
The visual quality was kind of a whole matte blue gray kind of. It seems to be really popular now. And part of it was definitely, I didn't find it visually appealing.
It's called the depressing Middle Ages. You coat everything in a bluey gray haze.
Which I like, but that's just
I have liked it in other movies, but...
Pathfinder?
Oh, that movie is shit. Shit, shit, shit! I cannot believe you brought that up. The only good thing about that movie is Carl Urban.
I thought it was appropriate considering it's a Paul Giamatti film. God, I don't know why.
Fuck.
He's taken over the spot of Kevin Costner used to
have. You make her throw up, you're cleaning it up.
Man, oh man, that movie was bad. I don't know. I'm excited about Ironclad.
All right, let's move on.
July 15th. The whole world is excited about this. I am partial. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. It comes to an end.
Finally. I could not care less about this film. I could not care less. No, I stand by that.
You stand by that thought? I wouldn't go that far. I would say I'm vaguely interested. I guess I have to watch part one first.
Oh, you haven't seen part one, huh?
No.
I broke down and saw part one. The original plan was to wait and see one and two kind of back to back. Because actually, I'm really surprised that they aren't I guess we're a little bit far away. Probably the beginning of next month, they'll ramp up with showing part one again. I thought for sure there'd be some places showing part one again.
That's why in the Mammo thing, like, what's the biggest blockbuster moneymaker? I didn't actually think Harry Potter was going to do as well as everyone else predicted, because people will see part two in the actual title and go, Do I even remember what was in the first one? Did I even care? My mom won't go.
Well, I watched the, not the last one, not part one, the one before that.
Part six?
I guess. I don't know what part this is, so.
Six and three quarters.
Eight movies. So, okay, so yeah, it would have been number seven that I saw.
No.
So wait, is this number eight? So yeah, it was number six. Whatever. I watched not part one, the one before it, which I can't even remember. And I actually really enjoyed it. It
was the Blood Prince, I think.
I don't know. It was the one, but it was the one of all the ones that I had seen to date that I actually really enjoyed. Like the others I sort of watched and they were okay, but nothing. I didn't really have any real reaction to that. I really, really liked that part.
Did Yates direct that one too?
Yeah. He's directed the last three.
I have liked the sensibility he's brought to the series more than the earlier directors.
Well, and so this is the thing. It was, I really enjoyed that part that I saw, and the general feeling from the fans was that it was okay. But I really liked it. I thought it was actually better than the other ones. And then when part one came out, I'm not really invested in this franchise. So I was kind of like, I'll watch it when part two is about to come out and then, you know, watch them back to back. So I still haven't seen part one. I plan to, but I don't even think I'll get to this on the big screen, at least not when it comes out, because
I had
one experience for one Harry Potter on opening night. Never again.
I won't go near it the first week.
Yeah.
I expect. I mean, I will. I do want to see it in the theater. I've seen them all in the theater. I've enjoyed seeing them in the theater. But I'm nowhere near opening week. No way.
Much and, like the Twilight franchise, I wait till the squealing subsides.
Yeah.
I so go for the squealing because I am right in there with them.
Because you're the head squealer.
Not the head squealer, but I'm pretty high. So, I mean, I'm not even going to look at what it's about. I did watch the trailer. I thought it looked really nice. I know somebody dies. I know shit happens. It's all dark and, you know, bad things are happening to everyone. Looks okay. I don't know what else to say, really.
You know, well, you don't have to say a whole lot about it. I mean, by now, the fan base is pretty well established. The people that want to see it know about it already.
Exactly.
The other folks are like going to go, this isn't going to be the place to jump in. You know, you're probably going to want to start at the first movie and work your way. I have actually, yeah, there was one local theater that's been showing. I've been noticing old Harry Potter films shown on the big screen, come to think of it, when I've been checking movie listings.
The Espelon?
One of the rep theaters locally. Oh. It wasn't the Rio, but.
No, I haven't been tracking it, so I wouldn't know, but. So yeah, Harry Potter, July 15th. It'll leave room for me to watch anything else, though. Well, there isn't a whole lot of
that
week.
Like the next one, Winnie the Pooh?
Okay, I actually want to totally see Winnie the Pooh. I'm not a general fan of Winnie the Pooh. Don't really care for Winnie the Pooh in general. I like the idea that it's hand animated, which is like a huge, huge deal for me. And it just looks really, really nice.
I had to actually check the thing to see if it, like the info, to see if this wasn't just revoiced over old stuff. Like they really kept the look from the old Winnie the Pooh that I grew up with, like on The Wonderful World of Disney.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and well, this was the thing. I was kind of like, oh, another Winnie the Pooh movie, whatever. Not for me, right? And then they've been showing these things at the theaters when you go to the movies. And they had one on Winnie the Pooh. And, you know, the guys were talking, and I'm like, holy crap, the whole thing is hand animated? That's, like, seriously old school. They have all these the old books up, and, you know, they're talking about keeping the feeling of old Winnie the Pooh. And really, I mean, what's the tagline here, which I thought was hilarious? I think the tagline is, oh, Pooh. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff going on here that I'm really kind of digging. So I'm definitely game for this one. I really want to see Winnie the Pooh.
You're getting me excited about it, actually. When I thought it was like, this is really cool. But, you know, I've been there, done that. I got other stuff to see, but.
I look forward to it coming out on DVD and then watching it over like 4 years times in little bits and pieces is when my niece and nephew are watching it on TV. How's that for commitment?
Sure.
It's not a bad way to go, though.
Yeah. And I have been told that all of the music on the soundtrack is done by she and him.
Who's that?
Pretty Face. Zooey Deschanel is she. I don't know who him is.
Oh, okay.
That's enough, right? Also opening on July the 15th in limited release, Snowflower and the Secret Fan.
We talked about this before,
I think it's been pushed. I think it was pushed up. Like, I think it wasn't released when it was originally said it was going to be released.
Oh, you mean pushed back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think we've already talked about this one, period piece.
It still doesn't interest me.
I'm vaguely interested. For those that are local and are interested, it opens at the Fifth Avenue on July the 15th.
If they cut out all the new stuff and just left the really pretty old stuff, I might be interested. Just because the aesthetics.
The aesthetics.
Oh, do you want to, I guess...
Do we want to say what it's even about?
Yeah, it might
help. Two stories, one set in 19th century Shanghai, one set in present day. And it's basically like two women... and how their lives are sort of intertwined, like sisterly love, eternal, blah, blah, blah.
Feet binding.
Well, and that's...
the whole crazy.
That's the interesting part, right, is the part from 19th century Shanghai where
exactly.
You get to see...
Exactly, the secret language and all the really, really cool clothing.
Yeah,
and,
just beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. I mean, I don't doubt that it'll be okay, it's just not really my thing.
What's the female term for bromance? Is there... Never mind. Moving along.
I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll coin a new term.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because we do need a new coin for the female version of the bromance. Also opening on the 15th, in limited release, opening in New York and L.A., Oliver Schmidt's Life Above All. He's a South African director. This story is about daughter and her mother going over some difficult things in South Africa. This won a Cannes Prize this year. And the trailer I thought was interesting because basically it was, you'd be, if you don't cry, you're not human. It wasn't quite that blunt, but that's certainly what I got from it.
Horrible trailer. I'm like going, what?
I can't really figure out what's going on because the mother's sort of, it looks like they take the mother away and the daughter was in search for her. It looks like their baby dies, but like it's all very...
See, the trailer wouldn't work for me earlier, but the clip would. And the clip is just has 2 minutes of this girl walking through a middly lovely looking sort of scenery. There's 2 minutes of her walking down a road. Like, so, yeah, what totally. The hell kind of clip is that?
So it's a it's a Marina movie then.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This is usually the kind of thing that I keep for home because I don't really like crying in the middle of a theater. I'd rather be at home with a box of Kleenex between my legs and just bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, I got emotional during Hobo. Well, misty-eyed at points.
Oh, God. We should have known that was coming, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get awesome for a minute. July 22nd, Captain America, the First Avenger. Joe Johnston drags Chris Evans as Captain America. Colleen laughs. I don't know if that's gleeful or what. Starring Hugo Weaving as the bad guy, Samuel L. Jackson, because, you know, he has to be in it. Stanley Tucci, Dominic Cooper, hells yeah. Toby Jones, and Miley Hatwell. What are you laughing at? Dominic Cooper is awesome.
Okay, you know what? I know nothing about the Captain America sort of story, except for what I've seen in the actual trailer. And all the part of me that's laughing right now thinks that he shouldn't have grown in height. He should have just bulked up. And this really small guy is just total roid monkey. I don't know. I somehow have this picture in my head. It'd be way funnier if he was still like 5 foot nothing.
It's not supposed to be funny. Well, I think it's supposed to be sort of funny, but I don't know, man. The scene where she sort of touches his chest, I think that's hilarious. I laugh every time I watch that clip. I'm like, that is so awesome. So, I mean, I don't even know what Captain America is. He's like some superhuman being created by the military to fight the evil forces.
He was a propaganda comic from World War II.
They've made him cool.
Our Supermen are better than your Supermen.
Well, hopefully
they look like Chris Evans, yes.
Hopefully they can like make it topical without making you want to puke.
So you're going to have to coin a term because we're not going to be able to use Thorgasm.
Something with Evans?
Yes, please. Please. I'm going to need that for sure. July 22nd, also opening, Friends with Benefits. I guess the thought here is that the guys go and see Captain America and the girls go to see Friends with Benefits. I have no idea. I would want to go see Chris Evans naked or nearly naked. Whatever.
There's a lot of fans, though, for Justin.
That is very true. Will Gluck of EZA fame directs Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake in a Let's Be Friends with Benefits. I thought I saw this movie like last month. Wasn't it called No Strings Attached?
Yeah, with what's-his-face in
Natalie it. Natalie Portman and Kutcher?
Yeah, Kutcher. I think I'd rather watch this one just because I have no time for Kutcher.
Oh, I would take Timberlake over Kutcher.
I'm with you guys. way on the Timberlake fangirl file. But yeah, that's basically what it is, Friends with Benefits. And of course, it gets complicated because one of them falls for the other.
Of course.
Isn't that always the story?
Oh, Kel Sapri. Oh, you spoiled it for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Now I can't watch it at all. You gave away the ending. Maybe.
Well, maybe they don't. I don't know.
Maybe, you
know,
maybe everyone dies. That'd be a happy ending
end
for
of
that
the world?
Film.
The other interesting thing about this was...
Apocalypse. The last 2 minute apocalypse starts.
Oh, God. Sorry, Dale.
Emma Stone and Patricia Clarkson together again?
I know. That's kind of cool, eh? Same director, too.
I missed that.
Yeah.
So he directed EZA.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that certainly has a little bit of cred going for it. EZA was a pretty big win with audiences.
I really liked it. You didn't like it.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think anything spectacular about it. I really like Emma Stone.
Yeah.
But the movie itself, it was kind of like, yeah, whatever. I wasn't particularly taken with it. I've seen better. Also opened on the 22nd in limited release. This was a huge Sundance hit. the small sci-fi film Another Earth, directed by Mike Cahill, starring Britt Marling, who also wrote the story. Yes, you point to.
You know what? Is this really a sci-fi film? Yes, they have like the two.
No.
But it just seems like it's a talky sort of feely sort of film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a sci-fi aspect.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
I'm assuming so. So the story here is they've just discovered another planet Earth, and they're apparently sending people over there. And this woman who's like some sort of physicist or something, she has an accident while she's looking at the new planet and runs into some dude who's a musician, and the two sort of fall in love, and something happens, and, you know, it's sort of tied into the second world. I'm very vague on the details, but apparently it's very, very good.
I think I'll watch a rerun of Quiet Earth.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I will not be there. Nothing in this trailer made me curious.
Other than the fact that there's another goddamn Earth up in the sky, there was nothing in the trailer that made me go, awesome.
Yeah, I like these movies where it's just there's a very light tinge of something sci-fi, something different going on. So I'm game. Also opening on the 22nd, Sarah's Key, starring Kristen Scott Thompson, which is really the only reason I would be at all interested in seeing this. Oh, and Adrian Quinn is in here as well.
Kristen
like
Scott Thomas.
Yeah. Isn't that what I said?
Did you say? I thought you said Thompson.
Maybe. I might have. Slip of the tongue. I knew who I meant. Damn it. Another take, sort of, on the Holocaust. I say sort of because the French apparently rounded up Jews as well.
Yeah, it's about Vichy France. And
yeah, this is totally news to me. This was I'd never heard about this.
Colleen and I were talking about this. It's one of the things that actually makes this movie interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like, we've all been drilled so much with the atrocities that the Germans did that the names actually, just the mention of the names, put pictures in your head. This, I think I vaguely knew about, but I never really thought of it. And just watching this and then going, no, it wasn't the Nazis.
Yeah.
It was the French. I'm like going,
oh yeah.
Well, they did do something, didn't they? Yeah.
I tend to like historical detective stories, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely one of those.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, what brought me in was Kristen Scott Thomas, but you're right. It was the fact that, I mean, I really had no idea about this.
Yeah.
And I sort of went, wow.
I don't know the subject matter. It's a historical detective kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's got a great actress who I really like.
Yeah. So Scott Thomas is trying to figure out what happened to two children that were apparently rounded up during the Val de Vie. Is that what it's how it's pronounced? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Some roundup in 1942 France, and you sort of get to see what happened, and it's pretty brutal.
So here I am giving you guys fun for 13th century investigation of history and saying I'm interested in
World War II. This is based on a real world.
This wants to be more serious.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I'm pretty sure this doesn't want to take itself too seriously.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's not a Paul Giamatti with a bad comb over pretending he's a bad king while the Templars pulled off an army.
There's Daniel Craig in his underwear at one point.
We're moving on, I think, to the week of July 29th.
Yep. Cowboys versus aliens. Oh, sorry. Cowboys and aliens.
Oh, it's Cowboys and Indians, Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah sorry.
Got to get that right, eh?
No idea what this is about.
What was it? Cowboys versus Ninjas.
Oh, God. Okay, no idea what this is about, except that it's Cowboys and Aliens and Daniel Craig and Harrison
Ford
and Olivia Wilde.
Oh, I'm there.
I don't even care what it's about.
I don't understand. This looks awful.
It's going to be hilarious.
I sure as hell hope so, because, man.
It looks like it takes itself seriously, and I don't care because it's going to be horrendously awesome.
Yeah, that one scene in the trailer where the guy's fighting and it's like, should we help him? No. I don't think it's taking itself that seriously.
I don't know. I really don't know.
They're not playing it for laughs, though.
No, they're not playing it for laughs. But I think if they did, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Harrison Ford playing for laughs, I think he's tried that a couple times.
And it's always ended badly.
Yes.
Really, really badly.
I don't know. Cat Ballou wasn't that bad. Wasn't that him?
No.
Oh, God. There's been others.
Unless they remade it. Wasn't that like James Coburn and Jane Fonda and...
Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin?
Yeah. Singing, they have the mind, they dig it. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's quality. Sounds bad.
Yeah, no, something about aliens in the Wild Wild West is just entertaining.
When I first heard about this, I was like, oh, you've got to be joking. I don't think they can pull this off. But having seen it, the... Just for what I've seen from the trailers, it looks like it's going to be worth a try.
I don't have high expectations, but I'm going to love it anyways.
I don't know. Dan really wants to see it. He's so excited. I'm like, okay. I just don't know. Let's just say this. I'm going for Daniel Craig topless.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whatever.
Jugier?
Huh?
Nothing.
Huh? I missed that. The sirens were blaring.
Yeah. You'll have to listen to the show.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Damn it. Also opening July 29th, another one that sort of took me completely by surprise, Crazy Stupid Love, starring, what a cast, Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell, along with a bunch of other people. And Carell is this married guy who, I guess, his wife leaves him. His wife is played by Julianne Moore. And he falls in with... Ryan Gosling, who's this womanizer and basically teaches him the ropes. Hitch. Yeah, it's like Hitch, but way cooler.
Really?
Oh, hells yeah. Directed by the team that brought us I Love You, Philip Morris. I am game.
Yeah, you but know, it's Steve Carell.
That was
my first thought, but I'm when sold.
I was watching this. I was trying to figure out, like, it started off as kind of like a guy flick along the lines of an Apatow kind of thing. And then it kind of like... kind of shifted into more of a chick flick rom-com, if you don't mind me throwing around genres. And I'm like, wow, are they actually going to be able to toe that middle line to get the guys and the gals coming to this thing?
Well, I tell you, I mean, I'm still in a bit of shock over I Love You, Philip Morris, because it turned on its head like countless times, more than I could keep track of. And it's managed to work. So when I watched the trailer, I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm game. And then I looked at the director, I'm like, okay, I'm really game. I'm sorry, the best line in this entire trailer is right at the end. And I think it's Emma Stone, and she makes Ryan Gosling take off his shirt, and she's like, seriously? It's like you're Photoshopped. I'm sorry, that right there, I'm game. I couldn't help myself. I laughed so hard. And then I rewinded and watched it again. Because really, it looks like he's been Photoshopped.
Yeah, those were washboard abs, all right.
Wow. Okay, July 29th. I refuse to watch this trailer. You cannot pay me enough money to watch this trailer.
I watched it.
I refuse to believe this movie exists.
I watched it solely because NPH is in it.
See, that's the only thing that actually made me even, like,
even
go, huh?
Unbelievable awesomeness of MPH can't even begin to chip away at how freaking motherfucking bad, pardon my language, this film is.
Now I know what they say when people complain that they raped their childhood. I feel like my childhood has been raped. That is nothing to make fun of, but I cannot believe they've made this movie and made it so badly. All I needed to see was a poster to know this was going to be bad.
I know.
I refuse to even say what it is. If you guys will have to name it.
I know MPH now has like twins, so he probably needed a paycheck because diapers are expensive and all. But damn, really?
All I can say is I didn't like the Smurfs the first time around, and I'm certainly not going to go see a movie.
Okay, let's just move on before I cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also opening. Apparently not in limited release. Attack the Block.
This is a sci-fi.
Yep. Awesome film. I will be seeing it again.
Uh-huh. Inner city versus outer space.
That's right.
Not that alone should tell you what it's about. Bunch of kids protecting the neighborhood against aliens.
You know, it's the language and the soundtrack that make this film, which could very easily have been just total shite. But because of the language and the soundtrack, this film is adorable.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. The soundtrack is pretty awesome.
I know.
I found it.
Sweet.
It took serious digging on my part.
Your Google Foo was to the max?
My Google Foo was to the max for 4 days straight, and I did finally find it.
Now you still have to burn me a cup.
Is awesome. Basement Jacks all the way, man. Talk about reliving the 90s. Dale, I know we talked about this on the last podcast.
Has that aired?
Yeah, it aired.
Okay.
It's up. It's been up for
a week.
I never
listened to our own podcast.
You commented on
it.
You commented on it. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, no, that wasn't that because they were talking about the fact you hadn't seen Year of the Pig?
Yeah.
That's reading comments on the site. Yeah, that's not re-listening to the podcast.
That's all I mean. So you know what's up.
Oh, yeah. I keep getting confused with the ones that we talked about and the ones that we haven't talked about. And then we still have one that we talked about that we haven't put up, right?
Yeah, that's the missing episode. It will go up eventually.
Okay.
I'm calling it the missing episode.
I thought it took too long for the movie to get started. Like, they could have trimmed the first 20 minutes or so down to 5 or 10, and it would have worked better. But once it got started, I really liked it. And the themes in it, I really liked. It's one of those movies that doesn't beat you over the head with what it's trying to say, and it just has a lot of fun doing it.
You're right. I was a little worried when it first started that it might be...
Well, it had, like...
This is what it's going to be like throughout the whole film. Not so good, but as soon as the running starts...
Yeah.
Then it's like, kick-ass.
The first 5 minutes were great, and then it's kind of like, oh, crap, what's going on here? And then it took off again. So, yes, I enjoyed it.
Thoroughly enjoyable sci-fi film out of Britain.
We say see it.
Yeah.
Don't run. Don't walk, run. Okay.
Let's put it this way. If you got a choice between the Smurfs and Attack the Block.
Attack the Block, no brainer.
Okay, let's put it this way. If you even hesitate and think about, well, should I see the Smurfs? You should have your ass kicked.
I agree. There should be like an ass-kicking machine at the theater.
Exactly.
And if it overhears you saying that, it should totally punch you in the
guts. If you're over the age of 8 years old and you want to see the Smurfs, we'll kick your ass to educate you.
I refuse to say the word. That's why I'm not saying it. Also opening on July the 29th in limited release, I seriously can't understand this movie. Miranda July returns with The Future. This is opening in limited release. She's half of a couple who adopt a cat and their entire outlook on life changes.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of the trailer, I was just like, this has been a banner month for what the hell was that trailer all about?
Well, and this is the thing. I am not a huge fangirl of Miranda July. This did spectacularly well at Sundance. Everybody was raving about it. I can't say I'm hit and miss with her because I've only seen one of her movies and I kind of enjoyed it, but I think I enjoyed it because John Hawks was in it. I don't know. This just looks a little too wacky for me. A little too indie darling for me.
Yeah.
I have issues with indie darling.
I just can't
get
behind that trailer.
I don't care what its heritage or whatever that's lineage is. It's
not doing anything for
me. It's not doing anything for me. It's a tale about basically having cats.
Maybe.
Like that cat video you posted?
Oh my god, you have to put that on with the actual show notes.
That's insane. Have you seen the cat video?
The eHarmony video, the girl's doing
No.
Okay, Alan was saying she's an actress. Is that for real?
I have no idea. Alan pulls all sorts of crap out of his ass.
I know, and I can never tell if it's real or not.
I know. If she is an actress, bravo. If she's a real person, oh good god.
It's pretty bad. Mind you, like I say...
I just want to get all the cats and hug the cats.
Seriously, though, if it is a real person and if eHarmony can find her someone, that would make the greatest ad in history. Yes. We found someone for her. Imagine what we can do for you.
Must love cats.
Oh, God.
Seriously.
No joke, okay? Also, putting on the 29th, if I had my pick between limited release movies, this would probably
This looks like a lot of fun.
This looks hilarious.
I want to see this.
They had me at the Depeche Mode Jesus.
Yeah, pretty good. So we're talking about The Devil's Double, starring Dominic Cooper. And it's the story of a guy who's forced to become the body double of Uday Hussein.
Who is just motherfucking crazy.
Well, they were all crazy, but yeah, he's a kid with
a particular.
Yeah.
He made all the other crazies look downright conservative and normal.
It's fucking insane.
Putting on my, you know, pompous movie guy hat, I love the story premise here. You have like a sane guy in an insane situation. So you get this wonderful outside observer of craziness. Yep. I really like this.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I love Dominic Cooper. I will see him in basically anything. The fact he's leading this cast is awesome.
And
I can't wait.
Like I say, putting Depeche Mode personal Jesus
that had
in
you?
That trailer.
It just, works.
It made it from being awesome to, oh my freaking God, this is freaking cool.
Okay, yeah, so we all want to see it, so open it here.
Yeah. Open.
Yes,
open,
please.
Open. We're going to finish off the month with another film in limited release. I'm not quite sure when this one will make its way up here, but John Michael McDowell's The Guard.
This looks
awesome, too.
A lot of fun, too.
This does look like a lot of fun. Stars Brendan Gleeson and Don Cheadle. Gleeson is this, I don't know.
He's politically incorrect.
Very much so.
Irish cop.
And they send over some stuck-up FBI agent in the form of Don Cheadle to investigate some drug smuggling thingamajiggy, and they butt heads, and it's friggin' hilarious.
It's easy to basically go wrong when you're basically doing racist humor in that. This reminds me, like, bang on, like Archie Bunker. They did it right.
Yeah, just the right... Yeah.
It wasn't mean-spirited. I'm just an ignorant bastard.
That's what it is. And that's the thing with Gleason. He really pulls off the ignorant bastard really, really well. Mind you, the script has a lot of credit to take for that as well, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think, like you say, like you couldn't have set this in America now. That time is gone.
Yeah.
But what... I'm not sure what the current reality in Ireland is, but it almost doesn't matter because it's the North Americans' perception of Ireland.
And
yeah, like you say, Archie Bunker for the 21st century almost.
Yeah, it doesn't mean harm by it. It's just that's what you say.
Actually, not a mean, cranky Archie Bunker. You know, he's also got that stereotypical Irish good humor kind of ignorant Archie Bunker.
He doesn't have the internal editor. He says what he's thinking.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. He's a guy from a different time, right?
Yeah.
He's not used to dealing with stuck-up FBI agents who happen to be
and still,
really.
It's sort of like when you're... grandmother comes out and says something completely inappropriate
and you're like, oh my God,
you know, you're 92, I'm not going to correct you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and still clever, like the one scene out of the trailer where it's like, well, no, you can't talk to them, right, to Cheadle, who's like, what, because I'm black? And then they cut to, it's like, well, they only speak Gaelic. <You know>?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, certainly looks pretty smart. We can't wait. That's the month of July.
Hooray.
It almost seems like there's, like, I'm excited about a lot of stuff. There's only, like, two major titles in July.
Yeah, actually.
I thought there were, like, a lot of tentpole movies coming out. Where are they all hiding? I haven't looked ahead, but...
They're being spread out.
There's three, I guess, depending on where you put Transformers, but what? There's Captain America and Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Oh, I guess that's
Cowboys and Aliens, you could claim to be a tentpole. A smaller one, but
I mean
they've been marketing it like crazy, so
they have. I mean, it's got some big names in it.
I'm just wondering what else is left. Like, I'm just looking ahead because I'm not actually sure. Oh, Planet of the Apes.
Okay, that it's probably gonna be horrible, but I'm excited about that too, just because it's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I guess for whatever reason, I just had this feeling in my mind that there was like more of the big summer blockbusters. And I guess it's maybe because they really haven't been all that wow-inducing. So they come and go.
Well, and I mean, you have Harry Potter's going to be.
Well, for everybody else, it's going to be like the biggest thing in the world. For me, maybe not so much.
It's the last movie of the series with a huge fan base. Do you really want to put your movie up against Harry Potter?
Yeah, no. Well, that's the thing. It's going to eat up everything for the next 2 weeks, right? Yeah. I mean, Captain America is... kind of counter-programming, because I don't think the crossover is really all that big.
Yeah, and I think Cowboys and Aliens as well.
Yeah, so...
which comes out almost the same... Is it the same week or the week after?
The week after.
Yeah.
It's back to the one major opening a week and then a bunch of smaller films. So, it's looking like a good month. Some stuff for me to get excited about.
There's enough there, yeah. especially if we get some of the independents the limited releases.
Be better than this month. I don't think I really went out to anything other than the film festival down in Seattle.
Now, Dan and I went out. We've been going out to Sunday movies, like Sunday matinees. We didn't go out this week because we have no interest in whatever opened. Green Hornet. No, Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Green something. Green superhero.
Other than Ryan Reynolds' pretty, it's not enough to get me in.
Yeah, no. No. I can have a Ryan Reynolds orgasm somewhere else.
You know, I'll just stay at home and watch Nines.
There you go. See, way better way.
Exactly.
Way better way to have a...
And probably cost like 1/100th of the budget of the Green Arrow.
That movie is so awesome.
I know.
I love that movie. But we're done and we're rambling.
We're done. Yep.
So we will be back in a couple of weeks with a June in review show. At some point, we will have a bonus episode. The lost episode. It's still on my hard drive. It is edited, but I'm kind of like, well, when do I put that out? At this point, it'll go out eventually. It'll be a surprise when it finally does. Be sure to come on by row3.com. Check out reviews and the other podcasts, the Epic Cinecast, which just gets more epic with every episode. I think the last two episodes have been like over 3 hours.
Good God.
I know. It's a listening marathon, man. And the worst part is that I start it and I'll listen for like 40 minutes and I'll have a bunch of stuff I want to say. And then I'm like, I go into the comment sections to say it and I start reading the comments and I get lost and I forget what I was going to say. And it's just like this snowball effect. So it's just like, fuck it. I can't even have a conversation because the shows are so long. And the Mammal Cast. Which are short,
you know,
and awesome.
Almost anything over a half hour, I generally won't even start it because I won't finish it. I won't know where it was. Yeah.
So come on by. Check out the other podcasts. Check out the reviews. Check out all the trailers. Lots of good stuff to be had. Come on by Quiet Earth for all your strange movie news. And I think that's it for this week. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.